Ever feel like your body's breaking down before you even hit 40 years old? Maybe your knees ache every morning, or you're one bad day away from thinking the gym's just not for you anymore. Add that to the mental weight of the transition out of the military, and it's easy to feel like your best days are behind you. But what if you could flip the script? What if the pain you feel today is a foundation for the comeback story you're meant to write? That's what this episode is about. Marine veteran and strength coach Brandon Mancini was crushed, literally, between two trucks. Doctors told him he'd never squat again. 16 months later, he proved them wrong. Not only did he rebuild his body, but he used the same mindset to extend grace to the man who almost took his leg. Brandon breaks down how strength isn't just physical, it's mental, it's emotional, and spiritual. And the stronger you are in those areas, the more dependable you become. For your family, for your friends, and most importantly, for yourself. We're going to get into all that in just a minute, but before we dive in, make sure you're subscribed to the email newsletter at driveonpodcast.com/subscribe. You'll get my 5 favorite episodes sent straight to your inbox. No fluff, just the best insights to help you drive on. I also want to take a moment to raise awareness for something deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians impacted by the global war on terrorism. This memorial serves as both a tribute to those who served and a way to ensure their sacrifices are recognized and remembered for generations to come. If you want to learn more or find out how you can support the mission, visit GWATMemorialFoundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Brandon, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here. Really looking forward to our conversation, but glad to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've been nicknamed a real life Wolverine due to your recovery from a tragic accident in 2017. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and kind of what it taught you about resilience and kind of how you bounce back from that?
Yeah, sure. So I was 40 years old, 3 months into my 40th year. I've been a personal trainer slash coach since 2001. So it was, you know, coming up on 20 years at that time. And early in my career, I was really lucky to have some, you know, 2001 was when CrossFit was kind of becoming a thing and everybody was, you know, in gyms, were standing on top of booty balls and all that stuff. And I was really fortunate to have some mentors early in my career that taught me that if people want to do that stuff, awesome. Help them get better at that because that's important to them, but make sure you're making them better athletes for their sport. For most people, that's the sport of life, right? So more days in your life, more life in your days. Make sure they can live well into their golden years. And that comes down to, you know, strength and conditioning. The basic boring stuff that helps you be a better athlete for life. So having, you know, done that for almost 2 decades, at that point, when the accident happened in November of 2017, what had happened was I was pinned between two trucks by an intoxicated driver. He was driving an F-150, and he hit me and pinned me between the front of his truck and the back of my Jeep. It was November 20th, 2017. The day before that, November 19th, again, at 40 years old, I was squatting 405 and did a, for those who do CrossFit, a workout called Power Elizabeth. And at 40 years old, I was in downtown San Antonio, was outperforming the 20-year-olds in that gym. So the guys half my age. So at that point, I was arguably in some of the best shape of my life. Now, I still have the rear bumper off that Jeep, and it's got my leg print in it. So when I got to the hospital, the paramedics on the taking me on the way to the hospital called my wife and told me my leg and my hip were broken because that's what they expected with what they saw at the accident scene. When they got there, they found out I had severe cross syndrome and compartment syndrome, all the muscles of the right leg, and three severe bone bruises, but no breaks. So now, coincidentally, one of the nurses in the ICU that I was in for that week was a member at one of the gyms that I coached at. And if you know anything about CrossFitters, they're going to tell you, they're going to find every reason to tell you why you should come in and do CrossFit, right? So he was saying, see, guys, this is what happens. And that was the first, one of the first times I was nicknamed the real life Wolverine, because just the fact that my bones didn't break, right? And that was great for my ego, sure. Right? As I couldn't walk, was laid up in the hospital bed. But then there was this moment where, because again, that nurse, he was telling everybody, like, this is the coach, and he's, you know, one of the best shape guys in the gym, and this is why you do CrossFit. It makes you hard to kill, is another thing CrossFitters love to say, right? Which any well intelligently followed exercise program will do that for you. But strength needs to be the bulk of that program. So then the doctor in charge came in at one point and she said, look, Mr. Mancini, you, due to your exercise and strength history, you fared this accident better than most would have. There's, you know, a percentage of the population that would have lost their leg in this accident. Most people would have had breaks and you didn't have that. You recover better than most, but you need to understand those days of exercise are behind you. And I understand, especially in hindsight, that her intention was to help ease my mind and help me adapt back to life better. But I also knew that for my own mental well-being, I needed to set the precedent for who I was and what I was going to do. So I told her, I asked her, who's in charge of my health care? And the look on her face instantly told me she thought I was asking, where's the man in charge? Which she's, you know, if somebody takes that attitude towards a woman who's put in the time and effort to become a doctor, they're fully justified in being upset. So she said, I'm in charge. Are you okay with that? I said, no, ma'am, you're not. I'm in charge of my health care. You're a consultant. I will squat 405 again. So it was, you know, kind of a funny misunderstanding, but I knew I needed to set that precedent for who I was and what I was going to do. And so the months after that, it took me 16 months to get back to squatting 405. In the months after that, I basically took everything I knew, because I've helped people over my career recover from injuries, but I took everything I knew. I dug into a lot, but two main sources were Charles Poliquin and everything, you know, he had talked about and written and researched about helping athletes recover as quickly as possible. And Dr. Rhonda Patrick was putting out a lot of stuff at that time. So I was really leaning heavily on those two. A lot of supplementation. I think at one point I was up to like 80 pills a day and, you know, three shakes of collagen and a lot of real food and just literal and figurative one step at a time, like doing everything I had to do. Because at first, so November 19th, 2017, 405 and Power Elizabeth was the workout. November 21st, 2017, it was 10 steps with Walker. And I had to lay back down and put my leg back up because my leg felt like it was going to explode if it was below my hip for more than 10 seconds. So it's the principles of how you get in better shape and how you recondition your body don't change. The degree to which you apply them do. And that's what got me to the point where I was able to withstand an accident and trauma like that physically. And that's what got me to the point where I was able to recover from it.
That recovery piece that you talked about, I think is important to kind of hone in on, because your physical condition prior to that accident, like right up until that moment of that accident, allowed you to be able to recover in the way that you did, I believe, and at least set you up for success. Not to say that somebody else couldn't have recovered, but you would have had probably much more severe injuries had you not been in such good shape up at that point.
And 100%.
This is not the first story that I've heard of somebody who had been in great shape and came back from something that they, you know, by all rights, you know, probably shouldn't have come back from, at least not, you know, the way that they ended up coming back.
Hold on.
Right.
So I did another podcast recently and a guy said the comeback was extraordinary. And what you said right there was shouldn't be able to. I disagree.
Okay.
The human body is incredibly resilient. It can come back from some pretty incredible things. So this is where, how I got into, if I can go off on a little bit of a tangent, Scott. When I got out of the
Marines. Yeah, go ahead.
So I went to boot camp 4 days after graduating high school. That was 96. I got out in June of 2000. So I was a machine gunner, Marine Corps Infantry machine gunner, and then I got to work in special operations with FAST Company. So those 4 years beat the hell out of my body pretty good. So when I got out, at 23 years old, I couldn't run 50 yards without my knees just screaming at me. Didn't run more than 50 yards. So at that time, I'd kind of resigned to, I was going to be the guy that just did upper body. And then for legs, mm-hmm. I would do the, you know, the bike or elliptical or something like that. Because you can do the step mill either. And I was living in Norfolk, Virginia, going to school there and working out at the YMCA there. And there was a trainer who came from a Marine Corps family. And we, you know, just started talking to him in the gym. And, you know, he asked about my time in service, and, you know, I made a joke or something at one point. But yeah, you know, I just can't do squats or that stuff anymore. You know, knees are shot. And he started asking me questions like, oh, okay, when do your knees hurt? And when do they not hurt? And at what degree? And, you know, oh, do a squat for me. When do they start to hurt? Just, he was assessing me. I didn't, you know, I didn't know at the time. And then we, you know, again, from Marine Corps family, he's really interested in my time in service. And at some point he asked me, do you want to be able to run again? And I never even considered the question, right? I was like, well, I just know my knees are shot. I was like, yeah, sure, man, but I can't. You know, the VA doc when I was, you know, checking out was like, oh, you'll probably need surgery on these knees in the next 5-10 years, right? And so a doctor told me that. I just accepted it as true. So he was like, look, man, I know you probably can't afford me, but you know, I got a soft spot in my heart for Marines. Like, I have so many people in my family who served in the Marine Corps. Let's meet up once a week and let me give you a program that I think will help make your knees stronger. So I took advantage of that. And 3 months later, I could run 3 miles, not pain free, but I could do it. So he taught me about exercise and nutrition as regenerative therapies to help increase the capabilities of your body. Not, you know, in my early 20s, what I was picturing is every workout was just a Rocky montage where I beat the shit out of myself, right? And so I've heard it, you know, said more recently that we need more 20-year-olds working out like 40 and less 40-year-olds working out like 20, right? It's understanding what right. your body is capable of and using some basic exercise principles to, not easy, but simple exercise principles to increase those abilities to achieve whatever the hell it is you want to achieve.
Yeah, you know, I think I agree with your point there that you made, and thank you for, you know, kind of correcting what I was saying. I think my point was somebody who may not have been in as good a shape, maybe their legs would have broken in a way, you know, and yeah. torn things that maybe weren't repairable. Let's put it that way. I don't know, you know, the exact details and the exact medical, you know, issues behind it, but that was the type of thing I was more referring to. In those cases, you know, those people, had they not been in great shape, they may not be able to, you know, work their way back if those things were like physically yeah. broken and beyond repair. That's kind of what I was talking about. And I've known people who have had like stage 4 cancer, and they had to in order for them to beat that, they had to undergo a level of chemo that might kill other people, that level of, you know, the drugs, right? But they were in yeah. such great shape that they were able to survive that. So that's kind of the type of thing I was talking about.
I don't know if you've seen, but there have been studies that come out recently say one of the greatest predictors of whether or not you survive cancer, not only, but one of the greatest predictors of whether or not you survive a cancer diagnosis, is how much muscle mass you have going into it. There's a lot of people in the fitness really? Industry okay. that are saying, like, your muscle mass is kind of your health 401k savings account, right? The more you build up,
yeah.
the more, the better you're going to be able to stand. And it's not just simply muscle mass. Like, it's what else comes along with it. Ligament and tendons they get more tensile strength. Bone density increases.
Right.
So let's talk about what is strength. If I can ask you that question, Scott, what would you, if somebody said, hey, what is, define strength for me, what would you say?
Well, some of the things you just mentioned, I would consider, obviously the muscle mass would be part of it. The ability to lift certain weights depends right. on those muscles and also the ligaments and tendons and the strength of all of those combined. I think that's part of it, right?
Right. And it, I kind of primed you for speaking only in the physical sense, right?
Sure.
Unintentionally, right? But it is, as I define strength, it is the ability of a position or a pattern to maintain its integrity under increasing stress or load, right? So when okay. we talk about the physical sense, squat, hinge, push, pull, lunge, carry, like moving in those biomechanically sound movements, good form, to say it in the layman's terms, right? The stronger you are, the better you can maintain the integrity of those positions or patterns and increase the load you can carry, the stress you can put on those positions or patterns. But we can take that definition and overlay it to your political positions, right? Do they hold up to debate? Do they hold up under stress? Your religious positions, do they hold up to debate and stress? Your relationship, right? Your relationships,
yeah.
Your emotional stability, does it hold up stress? And the way you increase the strength of all these different aspects of your life is to get outside your comfort zone and learn to deal with greater stress. And I am telling you, man, these principles are best learned in the physical realm, in working in what, as you know, the hashtag I always put on my social media posts is get strong and do stuff. And that's the, or get strong and do shit sometimes, whatever mood, however the mood strikes me. Right? So that sums it up. You're able to learn those principles and expand them into other aspects of your life through the physical development side of it.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into the next thing I wanted to talk about was kind of more the mental side of things, because there's obviously probably a mental hit that you took. Like when you're sitting there in the hospital room and the doctor is telling you that, you know, you're probably never going to get back to that 405, you know, lifting, or, you know, you're not going to be able to do any of that kind of stuff. I would imagine if this was me at first, I'd be like, oh shit, like I'm out of it. I'm out of the game. But then what kind of triggered in you to say, hold up, no, that's not going to be the case?
So back to that.
Yeah.
How I've put it into practice in my life, because I talked about the physical, the political, the religious, I talked about relationships. So we can talk about your support right. system. Right. And I've learned early in my life that it's critical to have a strong support system. When I sit down and talk to a potential client, I don't talk about goals first. I don't talk about exercise history first. I don't even talk about injury history first. The first thing I want to hear about is your support system, right? Because regardless of how often I'm talking to you, there's 160 hours in the week. That might be wrong, but there's a lot of hours in the
week. Somewhere around right? That. That sounds right.
There's a lot of hours in the week. So who else are you talking to, right? And I like to talk to people about their supporters and how to engage with them, and their detractors, how to put them at bay. And most importantly, the thing to keep in mind is you do not have a support system. You are part of a support system, right? And so this whole idea everybody wants to talk about, I need to build independence. That's what they like to, you know, everybody, I'm independent. Great, you're alone. That's what I hear. I focus on being dependable. Right? I'm teaching my kids to be dependable and to surround yourself with dependable people, because no man is an island. No man is self-made. So you have to be strong in just about all aspects. In all aspects of your life, you have to be strong in order to be dependable and for people to see you as valuable and have, wanting to have you in their support system. So if I go on to, there's a side of this story about the accident that I really want more people to understand. What the kid that hit me was intoxicated. He was, speaking plainly, high off his ass. I remember when the vehicles came apart and I looked back, the way I described the way he looked is if you were trying to make fun of somebody that was too high. It was almost like he was literally swatting the birdies from around his head.
Oh, wow.
When you hit a person, not a car, when you hit a person with a vehicle in Texas and you're intoxicated, it is considered intent to kill legally. You're automatically a felon, and there's, what, it, I think, 5, maybe 8 years in prison, something like that. I can't remember. Now, when I'm first at the hospital, you know, my wife is there, and I'm, you know, pretty much useless to her at this point. And, you know, there's so many things I need to do in my businesses, and I can't now. So the first thought is, of course, yeah, put him in jail, let him rot. Bury him under the jail, for all I care. I don't. But then, you know, I still had my leg. My leg wasn't broken. I think back to when I was in high school. So I mentioned earlier I left for boot camp 4 days after graduating high school. That summer I was away at boot camp. I had friends in one of two categories. They either died or they went to jail. I was a knucklehead. Right? That could have been me. Right. So then this is around the time my wife and I were first starting to have kids. We're trying to have kids at that point. I now have two beautiful kids. So I'm thinking, I'm getting ready to bring kids in this world, and this kid that hit me is a wrecking ball moving through the world, just fucking up people's lives. He had, you know, a pretty decent rap sheet. So when I got to meet with the assistant district attorney, I said, look, I've had deferred adjudication on tickets before, where I go before the judge and they say, okay, you go do this online course that is magically going to make you a better driver, and will this ticket, you know, never happen? So I said, can we do deferred adjudication on his felony status pending a successful 4-year enlistment, Marine Corps infantry only? Because, you know, I always make the joke, the Marine Corps is the best mistake I ever made, right? It saved my life. But in all kidding aside, it put me in touch with some of the best people I've ever met, right? I'm still in touch with a lot of them today. Some of them were on the phone with my wife before. Some of my family was on the phone with my wife after this accident. So they're just, they're a big part of my support system, right? So, yeah. And I was told that they couldn't do that because it's unconstitutional. And I remember sitting there and saying, look, can you explain to me how giving someone a second chance, specifically through the act of serving their country, can you explain to me how that's unconstitutional? So I don't know if I would have had the ability to extend that grace or to try and extend that grace if I had lost my leg or even if it had been broken up into pieces, right? So again, that is, and that comes back to, I don't know if how far you want to get into faith here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like the,
sure, go ahead.
The scripture of Matthew 5:5 and the how for years I misunderstood that verse. It's the meek shall inherit the earth is how it's commonly said. We go back to the original text. It is more accurately the gentle or the humble shall inherit the earth. Now you can't be gentle if you're not strong, right? The declawed kitten that's pawing at your face, it feels gentle. That kitten's trying to kill you, right? But it can't because it's not strong, right? So the fact that this kid hit me with his dad's truck, had no insurance. The insurance had lapsed on that truck 2 days prior. So I was left with a bag on the financial side as well, right? He hit me, pinned me between two cars, and fucked up his life more than he did mine, right? So the fact that I had that strength built up in several aspects of my life, I was able to extend that grace. Now, the district attorney, when I brought that up multiple times, he said, look, I told you it's not an option, but here's what I'll do. I will run it up the chain until someone tells me to shut up. But the first thing I had to do is go present it to his side. And what he did, I couldn't believe this. The young man said, no, I'm not interested. He would rather choose felony status. And that's where, you know, you offer all you can to people, but if someone is, simple principle I tell my clients, I cannot care about your goals more than you do. Right?
That's right.
I care. I do. But if I care more than you, guess what's not going to happen, right? You're not going to achieve
right.
your goals,
right?
Right.
And that's the, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You know,
another way to say it.
Right? Yes, it's exactly what it seems like happened here. It's like that, in my mind, like when you said that, it seemed probably to him and I don't know this guy. I don't, you know, this is just me making an out of the blue assumption here, but like, well, the Marine Corps sounds like a whole lot more work than sitting in jail, even though it's more time sitting in jail. It seems like a lot of work and I probably just don't want to do it. And that's yeah. maybe the attitude that he might've had. Right.
So, yeah. So at the sentencing, you know, he was saying, you know, I want to make this right by this man, you know, and I remember at one point he said, like, my girlfriend's about to come into some money and we can give it all to him. I said, look, you want to make this right by me. As I, you know, I think I said earlier, he was a wrecking ball moving through this world. I was like, stop being a wrecking ball moving through this world. Money is not going to do it. I can get money, you know. Stop being a wrecking ball moving through this world. Take some ownership. I gave him a copy of Jocko's book, Extreme Ownership. I said, good luck. I hope you'd start making better decisions. And that's, again, I did everything I think I could be expected to do for him. And then I'm onto my life. I've got my support system I have to be dependable for, you know, to come back to that. And right. I have to work on making sure they're taken care of.
Well, and going back to what you were saying earlier, that the on the physical side, that you are building kind of like your 401k for your body by getting in that healthy shape. And you now have that nest egg, if you will, to be able to kind of bounce back and be able to be stronger and carry heavier loads and do better things physically, but also mentally. And you're doing those same types of things. And you just described it very well, you know, how your mental state was, you know, initially like screw the guy, but you know, then, you know, let's actually think about this and put some logic to it and, you know, try to help the guy if you can. But you know, that type of person is the type of person that you want in your corner, is the person who not only is physically strong, but mentally strong as well, who can be there for you in difficult times where, you know, maybe you're having relationship problems or something like that. Well, maybe you can have this third party person come in, you know, who's in your circle, who can talk to you and try to help you work through the problems. Because sometimes when you're in the middle of whatever those problems are in your life, you're not thinking so clearly. And so if you could have that,
you can't
that person
read the label
lean on,
from inside the jar. I've heard it.
Yeah,
said,
exactly.
You can't read the label from inside the jar. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, you know. But that person on the outside, they can read that label and they can hopefully help you work your way through whatever problem it happens to be. But again, to your point that you said before, nobody's going to care more than that, whoever the problem is, you know, nobody's going to care more about it than that person. You should be the one who cares the most about your own problems, your own situation. Nobody, you can't expect anyone else to. So, and that includes your spouse, that includes your best friend, that includes the government, that includes everybody, you know, like nobody's going to care more than
there's,
you.
There's some right? caveats there. Like, I think with, do you have kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have three kids.
So I will say, you know, there's a lesson in theology in having kids too, man, in the, you know, this thing that came from me and I love it so much and it just won't listen all the time. So it's, you know, I there are some times when I feel like, you know, I want that their goals for them so much more than they do. And it's definitely when it's a challenge to not step in and overparent and let them make their mistakes. And then
yeah.
So there it's more, you know, it's being the lighthouse and be trying to model. And let me just be honest for a second, which I'm trying sure. to be honest all the way through. I'm not a saint, right? As I said, with the example of the young man that hit me, my first response was, fuck that guy, right? That was my initial response. And even as I was, you know, the space that I was forced to take, I could do nothing but lie there and think about what's next. What do I want? Right, I'm thinking about what do I want physically? Am I done with getting stronger and being an athlete? And you know, boxing was my sport. I love it. Do I want to be able to spar? Do I want to be able to hit a bag? Yeah, I fucking do. So anybody who says I can't, no, they're wrong. And I need to make that right.
Right.
And then I'm getting ready to have kids. What do I want to do with them? Well, I want to, you know, I want to show grace. I want this world to be a better place. All right. I can't just say fuck it and throw this guy in jail. I have to find a way that everybody has the opportunity to get better out of it. Because what is the most likely scenario of him just being thrown in jail? Well, he comes either a better, more efficient, or at least a more active criminal, right? That's what most like happens, right? What do I get out of that? He had no money to give me. There was nothing to sue for. What do I get out of some senseless suffering? Made worse. The guy's life was shit anyway. So I want to be clear. I'm not a saint. When I'm driving down the road and somebody's driving slow in the left lane, man, I have some choice words for them, right? And I wish they would go to jail. But, right? That, of course, I'm joking, but.
Sure.
So I want to be clear, you know, about who I am, and just it was the space that I was forced to take that gave me the opportunity to realize what I think was the best option for me in that scenario. And I have no guilt about anything, or I handled it best. So, but then that's the, you know, when those times do come up, when I'm like, you know, in traffic, and fuck this, I get out. It's a nice reminder to come back to just focus on what I need to do, where I'm going, who I'm responsible for, and what I want to get out of this day and this moment.
Yeah. And, you know, thinking about what you're talking about with kids, yeah, sometimes it's frustrating, right? But I think as parents, we should strive to try to be that good example that those kids can then, I mean, kids generally try to, you know, emulate like whatever it is that their parents do. They sometimes make the same, you know, mannerisms and use the same words. So you kind of have to watch what you say around your kids sometimes, and, you know, yep. All those things they learn just by observing. I mean, that's how they learn to speak, you know, they hear you speaking and they just try to mimic the sounds that you're making to get the things that you're doing. They try to just mimic all those things. And then when you are faced with a difficult decision or a difficult circumstance in your life, like the one that you just described with the accident and this guy trying to help him in some way and show some grace towards him, that's something that a kid's going to look at and be like, you know, dad could have gone one or two ways of this. He could have just let the guy go to jail and let the system do what it's going to do, or he could have tried to be nice to this guy. And I guess that's the right thing to do. So, cause dad did it and dad's a good guy. So I'm going to try to be more like dad and I'll be nice like that too, you know?
Yeah. So go back to what I was saying about the lighthouse. And so in all aspects of life, my son from, you know, he's six now, he's born when I was 41. He's only knows this family works out, right? When he was in the Johnny Jump Up sitting in the home gym and he was watching my wife and I work out. And my daughter, she only knows that. She's seen us working out as a family in there. And now they, you know, she's turned four next month, he's six, and they'll say, Dad, let's go in the gym, right? And we go out there and I might get some of the workout in, but a lot of times I'm just, you know, showing them what to do and then watch them do it. Yeah, and now that's all they know, right? And it's all they'll ever know. And in other aspects, like when I make a mistake, like, you know, again, not a perfect parent. There's times when I've yelled where I shouldn't have. And I step aside, take a breath, and I go back in there. Hey, daddy was wrong. But, you know, I yelled because I was upset and I lost control of myself and it's got nothing to do with you guys. And then even when I'm like having challenges, like in, you know, running a business, I'm sure you know about this. There's times you have to make phone calls you don't want to make. And I'll talk to them, be like, hey, daddy's got this phone call you got to make today. He's not looking forward to it. There's going to be some challenges there. And then, you know, send them off to school and then come back and daddy made that phone call and it went great or it didn't go great. And here's what I can learn. Here's what I do next time. So talk about life is about learning and getting better. So now, you know, when my son's in wrestling and my daughter's in gymnastics and they go and they mess up and okay, well, what did you learn? And they understand that concept because they've seen me do it and they've heard me talk through how I do it. So it's, you know, yeah, teaching them, being that lighthouse in all those aspects and it, life is about getting better.
Yeah, exactly. A couple weeks ago, I was building a bookshelf with my daughter. We're from scratch. We went to the store, got the wood. You know, we put it all together, drew it out like how we wanted to make it and everything, and got to a point like partway through it where things just weren't fitting together right. It just wasn't quite going the way it was, and I was getting frustrated. And I was thinking to myself, this can go one of two ways. I can take a hammer to this damn thing and just smash the shit out of it and just say, screw it, we're not doing this. Or I could take a minute, take a breath, figure out what went wrong, undo that thing that went wrong, and get back into it and show her that, hey, this is something that's, it's difficult, but it's not impossible. And as long as you don't give up on it and you think through the problem and you try to figure it out, you'll end up with, you know, the end goal that you're trying to go for. And that's it. That's what we did. And she's an avid reader. She's 12 years old and she reads like crazy. She has hundreds of books. Like I'm looking at your background behind you and I'm like, she would die to have, you know, background like this. And, you know, and she just ran out of space. So I was like, hey, let's just do it. Let's build it together. And it was so, a cool thing that we got to do together.
I'm sorry to be laughing so much, but it's just reminding me because of this. So before we had kids, I built this bookshelf. Okay. My wife and I built it. And there was a moment where I was, again, this is before kids, and I was telling her, we're just going to take this out back and set it on fire. I'm fucking done with this thing, right? And so obviously that didn't happen. We've got this beautiful bookshelf that has a funny story to it. But yeah, there's definitely been, you know, projects. There was one putting together an IKEA, which that should be easy, right? Dresser for my son. Just one of the first pieces I put backwards, and I didn't realize it until we were like the next to last step. I tear it all apart. And it's like, yeah, man.
Yeah. Those types of projects can definitely test your patience. And, you know, I think it's important to, you know, especially as a parent, to recognize that you might have little ones nearby and they are like sponges and they will absorb everything, good and bad.
Everything.
You know, when I came back from Afghanistan, I was not the nicest person in the world. And my son, he was young at the time, and when he would get frustrated at something, he would make the same like grimacing face, like I kind of like grit my teeth, and the same face that I would make when I would get frustrated at something. And I looked at him and I was like, my God, do I really look that bad? And I couldn't believe that that's what I was passing on to him. I was like, I gotta do something to change because I can't let this kid grow up that way, you know. And fortunately, he turned out okay. But you know, it was one of those things where after seeing that, I was like, man, I can't believe what I'm doing. Like this is crazy. I gotta kind of snap out of it. But it all goes back to what you were talking about. Being stronger, being better, you know, always working on improving yourself. And yeah, sometimes life's going to throw you some hits. You're going to have a traumatic event like the car accident that you described, or, you know, somebody's going to come back from a combat situation and they're going to be maybe messed up, but it doesn't mean that you can't bounce back from it. That doesn't mean that you can't have a better future, a better life, you know, and show other people that, hey, yeah, sure. I took these hits. You know, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, you know, whatever it happens to be, I took some hits, but I was able to come back and, you know, show like, this is how I did it. And I think that's the important piece that people need to pay attention to, you know?
Yeah, man, totally agree. Yeah. It's, you know, quick side story. Recently, I had two clients that had just devastating things happen. One, a death in the family, the other one, a family member get really sick. And so when they came in for their sessions, you know, the first thing was, coach, I didn't get it done this week, you know. And they were telling me everything that they fell short on. And they both, in different terms, that I lost ground. I lost my progress. I lost my gains. I said, hold on. Like, that is not the way to look at this. They both had made amazing progress in the months leading up to this. So I told them, look, you're looking at this the wrong way. It's not the lost gains. It's not the lost progress. This is the fruits of your labor on full display. This week, the events of this week were coming,
okay,
whether you knew it or not. They were going to happen. You had no impact on whether or not this was happening. But you were a more dependable member of your support system. Your family is better off because of the shape you were in. One of them had to move all the furniture out of a room by themselves, so some medical equipment could be put in there. They would have, if they were able to do that, if without all the physical development that they had done over the prior months, if they were able to do that, they would have been more prone to injury, right? So it's a reframing of, like, when challenges come up, not what you lost because of the challenges, but how much better you fared them and how much more useful you were to the people you love because of that, right? So mm-hmm. That's what, again, coming back to the idea of muscle being a 401k savings account for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really that resilience and being able to bounce back from these setbacks and how well you're able to do that. And I think for the listeners, you know, maybe take a look and look into your own life and see, how well am I bouncing back from these things? And, you know, do I have a network of people, you know, a support system that I can rely on to assist me, or that I can assist them, to be dependable for, as put it in your words? You know, are there those people that I can count on to be dependable for me, and that I can be dependable for them, and we can help each other out? Because if not, I got to imagine it would be pretty difficult to have gone through the experience that you went through all on your own, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, I'm so lucky on that side. My wife did not leave my side once mm-hmm. that whole week, except to, you know, go grab me some Chick-fil-A or whenever I asked sure. her to, right? You know, my clients and my circle of friends and my family and my, you know, brothers from the Marine Corps, like, just filled in every single, you know, need and want we could ask for at that time. It's just, I'm incredibly, incredibly lucky there.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think that just goes, you know, for the listeners, that just goes to show that, you know, that mindset that a lot of us tend to have, where we're like, yeah, you know what, screw it. I don't need that group. I don't need those friends. I don't need those people. And I can do it on my own. And, you know, I'll be better off on my own. That kind of mindset, not necessarily true. Maybe you might feel that way in that moment. Right. And it may feel comfortable. Right. But like you were saying before, you got to push yourself out of that comfort zone. If you want that growth, you want to experience growth and, you know, push yourself beyond that.
And recognize that people want to help. People want to be useful, you know? So,
yeah, right.
And then you just develop this, you know, this symbiotic relationship where you're both better for it, right? So there's a big difference between codependency and co-accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think for the listeners, though, you know, the biggest takeaway here is that you can come back from setbacks, from these negative experiences that you might have in your life. And I've heard from some people who've gone through terrible things like cancer or whatever, and they came through it and said, you know, it was probably actually one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it completely changed my mindset, changed my attitude towards life and towards, you know, the people around me and things like that. But it's only if you're open to it. If you're only if you're open to that type of, you know, mindset, that is really going to sink in with you, right?
It's who you become and who you help on the other side, right? So, I mean, you know, my philosophy on exercise, strength, conditioning was proven to be extremely fucking effective through this process. Not the way I would have chosen to prove it, right? So I made a reel about it, you know, about the accident and my comeback years ago. It ended up going viral. And I made it, and I saved the draft, and I was about to delete it. And then before I did, I showed it to my wife, and I was like, hey, what do you think about this? And she just started bawling. And I was like, all right, I've got to post this, right? And so I did, and it started taking off, and I started getting so many messages about, thank you for this. This really inspired me. A lot of questions, a lot of people. And it's the internet. So, of course, I got, you know, questions like, I wish the truck would finish the job, right? So, because that's...
Yeah, sure.
Because that's
the internet, because people are assholes.
Well, and, you know, maybe it's just a 13-year-old making a joke. I don't know. But
yeah, right.
Just, I say that to, that stuff's always going to exist, right? And
yep.
It's where you put your focus. I just put my focus on, you know, helping the people that I could help. And again, same situation with the young man that hit me. I'll offer whatever I can. It's up to you to work on you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, to that point of, you know, helping people, you know, in any way that you can, for the listeners who are interested in what you do and kind of your services and things like that, where can people go to check you out and find out more information about you and what you do?
Yeah, so my website, my company is Brandon Mancini Fitness. So my website is bmfcoaching.com. I've got some, you know, freebies you can download on there. The most recent one I've put up there is Fat Loss Made Simple. There's a 5-day bulletproof core challenge. I got a metabolic assessment you can take on there. It can, you know, help you figure out where's your area for highest return on opportunity or return on investment for time you put in. You can follow me on social media, Coach Brandon Mancini. Is one of my Instagram handles. I have a backup, which is just BMF Coach. It's probably easier to spell. You can find me there. Another one is A Real Life Wolverine. So those are my three Instagram pages in case any of them get shut down. But okay. Yeah, I've got a Facebook group, Get Strong and Do Stuff. So you can find me in all those areas. I do.
Excellent. Well, I will.
If you're in San Antonio, I've, you know, again, do in-person training, but I'm also doing some online coaching. So if I can help you out wherever you are in the world, let me know.
Wonderful. And I'll put those links in the show notes for the listeners so that they can check you out and hopefully get in touch with you and get stronger and do stuff.
Yes, sir.
So thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Brandon, for taking the time to come on, sharing your story. It's really incredible. The comeback that you had after, you know, such a traumatic event, and hopefully this was inspirational to some of the listeners. So thank you. Thank you again for taking the time to come on.
Thank you for having me, Scott. I truly appreciate it.